Good morning. Today is Monday, October the 22nd. Joining us this morning, the general manager of the Service District, Dave Baldwin. And Tony Waterhead.
Yay!
Well, we're not here for a while. You can build this thing up into something else, if you want.
Sure. Do I get a turn? I like that tie, by the way.
You like shocking pink,
huh? Yeah, I do.
Good, good. Okay, I've got two choices for you.
You pick.
We have got...
This is what's my line?
Well, kind of, sort of. Blizzard or blue ribbon?
Oh, those are the two words?
Yeah, which one do you want?
I think I'll go with blizzard.
All right. Who invented the word blizzard?
I think it was that hamburger company that's up in, there's one in Brookings,
Dairy
I believe.
Queen?
Yeah, Dairy Queen.
Well, we know where your mind is, at least. O.C. Bates, editor of the Northern Vindicator of Estherville, Iowa, coined, or at least popularized, the word blizzard in describing the snowstorm in Estherville in 1870. He may have had in mind the German word blitz, which means lightning.
Right.
Right, blitzkrieg. Or, from a similar root, the English dialect prefix blizz, meaning something violent in action.
Could be both.
There you go.
There you go.
Violent ice cream. Right here, you heard it.
And they're really good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, particularly with Snickers thrown
in there. We should have one here, don't you think?
Dairy Queen?
Yeah.
Now, there was a rumor one was coming, but I think that melted away. Yeah, okay, fine.
Here we go.
I didn't say I was going to be good. I just said, you know, that. Oh, boy. Well, it is dry.
Yes,
it
is.
Which is interesting.
Supposed to have rain any time, though.
Normal amounts, regular amounts, abnormal amounts, does it matter to the water delivery system?
Well, certainly if it's a severe drought, it would worry us for a prolonged period of time. But you know, rain within, 25 to 50 inches pretty much does the same thing. We don't seem to do a lot of different works with it. This year, though, there is a 60-70% chance there'll be an El Nino this winter. So that's we're kind of doing some preparation work, getting ready for that just in case. That could mean we get a little more rain than normal. So, you know, we're getting sandbags ready, testing the emergency stuff, you know, starting to gear up for
generators and
for
the
that.
Like.
Yeah. Yep.
Does water inundate areas, or are you just concerned the power lines might come down?
That's it. It's more the storm part of the things. And the inundation. Certainly, some of the erosion control stuff we do, the sandbags, that's to keep water out of some certain areas, like out of... You know, we'll shore up around manholes or some of the stations that are at ground level. So,
do you guys get the fines if the manhole covers turn into fountains like the cities and the county does?
Oh, yeah.
What can you do about that?
Well, we do several things.
I'm glad one of them wasn't plug the holes.
Yeah, one of them was put tape over it.
Yeah,
and forget
duct
about
tape,
it.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, weld them down. And
you are a broadcaster now. Finally, duct tape. Okay.
One of them is, of course, we do really well. This my district does a great job of preventative maintenance out there. So we will go through. We clean, miles and miles of sewer lines every year. Just to prevent things from backing up and becoming a problem. In the event of, like you're talking, where we get some big rain events or high tides or something, you know, I'm thinking of the area like in King Salmon. We get those king tides, and if there's some rain associated with those, then that gets over the streets. It will cover our manhole covers for a short period of time. We actually have some covers, plastic covers that go inside the manhole right under the lid. And that prevents water from going in through those holes and
like
going.
Like mustard containers, you pop the lid off.
Kind of like that. They're actually quote dust covers is what they're sold for, but they work really well for us to keep that couple hours of high tide off of them.
So why do you have to do that?
Well, two reasons. One, we don't want that corrosive salt water getting into our system. The other thing is we have to pay for the water that goes in our sewer system that goes to the wastewater treatment plant. So we don't want to.
Oh, so
we don't
want to send gallons and gallons and gallons.
We don't want. We don't. Yeah. We A, don't want to pay for it, but B, we don't want to hurt our system or the treatment plant by putting salt water in there. So we do everything we can to keep that kind of stuff out.
So what, salt water is a negative?
Yes. Well, it's corrosive. Right. So, you know, the material that ends up in sewers has salt in it, of course, but it's not like ocean water. So the treatment plant's designed around certain things. It's not designed to and frankly, some of the processes, some of the biological parts of the processes, you can actually kill them by putting salt water in there. So that makes the whole treatment process not work anymore.
Yeah, that one makes sense.
Yeah.
If the critters can't survive in it.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't want things corroding either. You know, that's expensive stuff to replace. So
does it accelerate it significantly?
Well, it depends how long it's an issue for. So we do our best to keep that out of there. The other one is, and we've talked about this on previous shows, is the smoke testing that we do to make sure that we've got wherever somebody has said, "Hey, I'm going to pull my my clean out off and just let my, you know, the salt water run back into that as the high tide comes in." We check those out so we make sure those people plug those back up.
Are there that many points that the tides can get into?
Not really. No. It's really limited to King Salmon, a little bit of Fields Landing.
So you have five or six stops kind of thing
instead of
all over the county?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Correct. We have a big district, so a lot of it's up in the hills.
Yeah, you mean water flows downhill?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Still, even in Humboldt County, it does.
Regardless of what we may or may not protest. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back. Dave's still here. I'm still here. We're talking shop about water.
Still have the pink tie on.
Yeah. Hey, and purple stripes. Don't forget the purple stripes.
It must be some kind of a holiday today. I don't know what it is.
It's Purple Stripe Rose Day. Yes, of course. I forgot. Did you celebrate National Dessert Day on Saturday?
I did not, but I was thinking about having a pie cake in.
I've test driven one.
Yeah.
I found had to clean it up a little bit. You don't cut the crust.
Oh, is that the trick to it?
Well, you lose the strength on the side.
Oh, yeah.
So you just
have
to build it out with the frosting.
Yeah.
So I'm working on the frosting recipe now.
There you go.
Have you had one at the house lately?
I haven't, no.
Well?
I've just seen your pictures.
You're the ace.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least you have connection to the ace. I have to try to jerry-rig things. You got the real deal, and you still haven't pulled the trigger, huh?
No, no, no. And for people that don't know, a pie cake, of course, is this this multi-layered thing that's made out of cake and pies all stacked up on each
other.
With layers of stuff in between.
Pumpkin, spice cake, and apple filling.
There you go.
Pie filling with...
And you know what? It all ends up in the sewer, frosting. Which brings it back to what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, right. All that salt content. Gee, Louise. Some of the other things that we see that get into the storm drain system, is that as concerning as salt water?
In the storm drain system,
or
it is. Just quick clarification here. You remember the Humboldt Community Services District doesn't do storm drains. The county does the storm drains in our district. But storm drains are, because storm drains, you know, you see the little grate out in front of your house or at the corner or something like this. Those all end up eventually going into the bay.
Direct, so, unfiltered.
Yeah, correct. There's no filter. There's no traps. There's no anything. So it ends up. So whatever ends up in the gutter, whether it's cigarette butts or antifreeze or oil from your car or gravel or whatever, it eventually is going to end up in the bay. So that's why several years ago, probably decades now, we started putting out the signs on the curbs right there that says, you know, don't pollute drains to bay, something like that, as a little fish symbol or whatever. It was an educational campaign to get people just to think about it. Because if you're way up in the hills, you know, in inner Eureka, and you see this little grate, you know, you don't know where it goes, maybe. So it was just to sort of get people aware.
So the only spot that is, or the spot that's most likely to have environmental impact, ooh, fancy word, huh?
Yeah.
For your system and for the wastewater treatment is the manhole cover, something going in the out, so to speak, rather than things being dropped into the water system, like I know prescription pills and some of that kind of stuff that goes in there. You really can't deal with that.
Correct. And that's an interesting thing. That's sort of probably the next level of things that are going to be dealt with at the state and federal level is those kind of chemicals. They do show up. People flush a lot of that stuff down the toilet, just stuff that comes out of your system, goes through the toilet, out, you know, gets treated. But the treatment processes.
Your body processes through exactly. It gets into the system also.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And the treatment processes that exist today aren't designed to handle, to deal with that stuff. So that's kind of the next wave of treatment that's being researched right now is what do we do with that? Because some of those do show up in some of the toxicity tests that they do on some of the critters out there.
I would suspect that it's probably pretty cheap.
The tests?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. And of course.
And the solution's even cheaper.
Making a treatment plant to handle stuff like that is zillions of dollars. Exactly.
Oh,
partly why it's not been done yet.
Yeah, you think. Yeah, that there might be a connection there somehow. What is the biggest surprise that people have about water in our area or the district itself?
Just how good it is.
Sterling leadership?
Sterling leadership goes along with how good it is, yeah. No, the water's...
You know, in listening to these programs, I'm not sure why that would be a surprise.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. We cover it all here?
Yeah. And deep, too.
Yeah. From shallow to deep.
Right, yeah. Right.
The whole water column's covered here.
In our little pool. Now, you had a couple of projects for the summertime. Are they on pace to be all cleaned up and squared up?
They are. One of the big ones we've talked about for a while now is our replacing of the South Bay well, and we're just about done with that. The well's been drilled. It's been put in. The other wells have been destroyed. We are just in the process of ordering the new pump motor and pump parts. The pump itself hangs down in the well, and the pump motor that drives that. And so probably within probably by the time I'm here next time, we'll be mostly ready to
have a pump party.
Yeah, it feels like we should have one. It's been kind of gone on for a while, but remember, this was an interesting process that we went through. We had a well that was old and its casing had some issues, and so we took it out of service. My board said, well, should we? Since we purchased some of the water that we use from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, should we just purchase more and not build another well? Or should we build more wells and not purchase water? Or should we do the combo thing that we're doing now with well water and purchased water? So we went through a water management analysis study for about a year, came up with that the most resilient and best way to deal with stuff is to actually have the combination. So... At that point, it was okay. Well, we're going to need a new South Bay well to handle that. So we started down the process with that, and here we are.
You're not going to have a pump party?
Well, yeah, when it's done.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. May need galoshes at that time of the year, right?
Maybe.
If El Nino is coming through
well,
the way
true,
that
that's true. Well,
meteorologist
you know,
Holt
always,
says.
We can always put the pump party off until you know the end of May.
Oh, I was thinking have it out at Woodley Island. KINS.
Yeah, you weather would think
weather
that.
Station.
Yeah.
Weather station.
Oh, I see.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Murphy's Markets, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Dave, the projects that are wrapping up now, are there any that can start during the wet season?
Yeah, we have several pipe replacement projects and some motor projects, some transfer switches, you know, these kind of electrical sort of indoor sorts of things. But we do, like I said, we do have a waterline project or two that isn't particularly a lot of excavation. You know, it's relatively shallow, they're relatively short, and so we can do those kind of things between storms. We're pretty confident about that. We do have to be mindful of the weather and, you know, put all our erosion control and our best management practices in place while we're doing those. But the ones we really try and avoid are the big excavations, the big long, you know, things that would probably take us, 6 weeks to do or something. We put those off till the dry season.
Whenever that may happen.
Whenever that may happen.
Now, right? What about the bidding of these projects? Or are all these in-house?
It's a combination. The ones that we do in this winter will be in-house projects. Our construction crew will handle those. We do have some coming up in the springtime, though. If we're in the final phases of getting some permits for actually a Martin Slough Interceptor project, one of the projects.
Wait a minute. Didn't we hear that one all last decade?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, but we're still hooking things up to that, which is reversing the flow at some of our sewer lift stations. Some of the sewer lift stations actually go away. So,
that doesn't mean you send it into people's homes.
No.
You're reversing the flow.
We're just reversing the flow. Yeah, so it comes back up.
Yeah.
I said, here, you take it. Yeah. No, it takes it from having to pump it up a hill to somewhere where it can get some gravity to go down. It actually switches it around so it gravities down to the Martin Slough Interceptor, which then goes over to the treatment plant. So that was one of the main selling points, one of the main reasons of doing it was to get rid of some of these lift stations. So we got one of these projects coming up. It's going to be we actually have two projects that are going to be partially directionally drilled. So this is something that we do bid out, those projects. In fact, the one Martin Slough project is going to be sort of a combo one. We're going to do, our construction crews will do the trenching for about 1,000 feet of this particular sewer line, and then we're going to have a contractor come in and do the directional drill for the other 600, because it goes under a little drainage swale and some environmentally sensitive kind of things. So drilling this thing way down underneath it, so we never have to, you know, deal with it. Doesn't have to disturb the wetlands at all going underneath it. It's just a great thing. So we have a contractor do those.
So you're drilling underneath the swamp?
Yep.
Is that kind of basically?
Yep.
Okay. With the elimination of these lift stations, no motor, obviously you don't have to worry about power, et cetera, et cetera. Where's the break-even point on that? Because I would think having to put in a new line versus replacing a motor, the new line's going to be a little bit more pricey at the moment of purchase. Does it just give you a longer, or is the cost that much to have the power to be able to keep lifting the water.
The power is expensive for these things, and so the motors themselves are expensive. The pumps themselves are expensive. You know, none of this stuff lasts forever, and of course, then the ongoing electrical costs are expensive too. The other thing we get is in several cases, we're completely replacing these lines with brand new materials. So we're getting rid of, you know, 50-year-old sewer lines that are out there, as well as some of these pumping costs and stuff. So it's more environmentally friendly. It allows for some more connections, because in some cases we're upsizing them just a little bit. It's all part of the plans, and then there's the power saving too.
And replacing old that would have to be replaced sometime.
Anyway, right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you replace it when you don't have a pump, then you never have to replace the pump that you make go away.
What is the life of a pipe?
You know, it depends on what kind of pipe it is. The pipe that we're, some of these directional drill projects is a plastic pipe called HDPE, and it's actually welded together. It's, you know, a plastic weld, so it becomes one continuous long snaky thing. Those are advertised to last for like 100 years. Yes, and they're flexible too. So, we just applied for about a $2.25 million grant to replace what we call a force main. So it's a sewer line that's under pressure that runs all the way from.
Now, tell me why that doesn't sound just really really bad.
Well, it is if you have a problem with
it. Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah.
We inherited, so this line goes from the King Salmon off-ramp, let's say, on South Broadway. It basically goes from that area all the way to the wastewater treatment plant, kind of follows the railroad tracks all the way to the wastewater treatment plant. So, you know, it's a couple of miles. And we inherited it from the county services district, and it had been put in about the 70s. So it's asbestos cement pipe. And so we're going to replace that with this HDPE pipe.
So
it will be more flexible.
Because it's an uphill grade?
No, it's almost flat.
Oh, so it would just settle. It
would just set there, right. So
kind of makes sense.
We got to push it, you know, almost flat for 2 miles over to the treatment plant. So.
Yeah. Blowing doesn't work.
No.
Okay.
No.
KINS, just checking, making sure. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:45. Back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hall. Fine Monday that it is. Yeah, a little Irish pink tie.
And I like it too.
Yeah. Ooh, do 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 do. Okay. What's next year look like, budget wise? Are you going to be able to wrestle another significant project like the well?
Yes. We have this the projects I were mentioning. Some of the waterline projects, the Martin Slough project. Those are going to be starting in this fiscal year, which means they'll be starting in the spring. But they'll probably blend over into next fiscal year also. So we've crossed those all through. We've planned out some work next year. We'll actually be starting on some of our water tank repairs and upgrades and things like that. You know, we have three water tanks that we're working on over the next 5 years, and we're right now in the beginning parts of actually putting together the bid specs for all those. We'll bid it over the winter, and we'll start on those in the spring, and that'll, again, blend over two fiscal years, but it'll look like the same summer as we do that work.
If we have an earthquake in the next little bit, how do you guys determine if there are leaks? Do you do that smoky thing that you did a couple of years ago? Is that a quick one, or do you wait for people to report leaks or, you know, wet patches, that kind of stuff? How do you How do you find out if we have a good shake?
Yeah, well, it's the latter two and some other things. We don't smoke the water lines. That's a sewer kind of a thing. But we do look for the wet places. We watch the tank elevations. If the water tanks are dropping faster than they normally do, then we've got something going somewhere. In fact, we have one of our tanks actually has what they call an earthquake valves on it, so that if it shakes over a certain amount, it shuts it off, so it doesn't provide any water until we go out and reset the thing. So,
well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because because a lot of times with earthquakes, of course, what else do you get? You get fires, right? So if there's something going on and you need the water, but it's all run out on the ground because there's a break in the line somewhere, then you don't have that. So
how do the fire hydrants not run dry?
Yeah, well, but at least you got a source that they can come fill water from at the tank site. So, because they would, if the fire hydrants would, if the lines were broken. But looking for, it's a lot of visual sorts of stuff. People will notice things and they'll give us a call.
So you guys don't go out on the road. Do you wait for the phone call?
No, we do both. We will if it's a big earthquake, it's an all hands on deck kind of thing. We'll have people in the office all the time taking calls from folks, but we'll also have the field crews out. If their power's out, they'll be moving generators around from station to station that don't have generators already to keep the power going. They'll be checking for leaks. They'll be looking at tank levels. They'll be doing all that. If something happens to our telemetry system, then that's even more a reason for our folks to run around and, old school kind of manually check tank levels and all this sort of stuff. So,
right, you got eyes and ears and feet all out.
We do.
Checking things out.
Yes,
I would suppose
do.
That, you find some things that way.
It's good stuff. You're talking about leaks. We just finished, I think I mentioned it here before, over the last couple of years, we've done a leak detection survey of our entire 114 miles of water mains that we have in the district here. And so we just completed that, or the consultant just did, and we got, we believe it or not, there was only about 31 leaks over that whole 114 miles of water mains. The consultant said this was one of the tightest systems they'd seen, and I got to attribute that just to the district, doing lots of preventative maintenance, a lot of keeping up with things and replacing the old steel water mains, being very proactive about that through our history. And
those leaks, were they surprises? Were they
yeah.
new
no, information? Yeah, no, these were surprises, which was fun, because we get the calls, we notice things, just on a routine basis, and we go out and fix those things. But these were ones that we didn't know about. And so at the end of the day, we still have four to go that we just found out about, but up until that, the ones we'd fixed saved us about 15 million gallons a year.
Oh, so they were more than drip, drip, drip.
Exactly. Well, drip, drip, drip adds up.
Yeah. Yeah, 24 hours a day. Yeah. I understand. Hanging around drips a lot. I understand how it can add up.
So do I.
Yeah. See everybody tomorrow.